One thing about a preacher, they cannot be feeling well, but get them behind the pulpit, and they instantly feel better. So we're glad to be here. We've been here a few times, and it is a thrill to be here. I, first of all, this morning want to say thank you for your continued support. That's always a blessing, and any gift that ever comes our way, we don't take it for granted. Being raised in the middle of a cornfield in southwestern Iowa, never dreamed that I'd be one day in the former Soviet Union, but God's amazing God and does amazing things. Also want to say thank you for the goodies that you gave us, the offerings, overwhelming. And I certainly know that I feel the heartbeat of your pastor. In fact, I was willing to sit there and let him just keep on going. He started and gave us a sermonette, but I have no doubt in my mind that that young man can preach and knows the heartbeat of the Lord. I have about three or four messages to preach yet this morning, and I don't think you want to hear that many, and I don't think I could make it through that many, but what I'm going to say I'm sure is not new, but it's amazing how many times you can preach something and a person not, it just doesn't register with them. And then you preach it again and somebody says, whoop, it's like somebody flipped the light switch. And so I really wrestled with what to say today, but it is Faith Promise Sunday. And we certainly want to challenge you as believers to step up to the goal of worldwide missions in a way that you never have before. When I heard what the pastor had set as a goal for your faith promise, I said, man, I'm scared to death to preach because I want to see you reach that goal. And it doesn't, it's not up to me. My part is just to challenge you and trust that the Spirit of God will stir in your heart. So take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And because I have been under the weather, I probably will be a shorter message today than, which is your blessing, but I won't be quite as bombastic as I might have been had I felt 100%. But I want you to notice five things with me this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Obviously, we're talking about giving, and I'm with the pastor. It's not something you have to do. It's a privilege. You know, sometimes I think we just fail to understand that Christ died for us, and we ought to give him our all. And I see people who, they come to church like it's a social meeting. It's like a club meeting instead of understanding that the preacher that stands behind the pulpit, the pastor who week after week ministers to his people, it's a ministry that is to touch, to challenge, and to help folk grow in the things of God. And Faith Promise Missions is just part of your life as a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And no matter where you might be, it ought to be part of your life. I was challenged many, many, many years ago. First of all, let's read the verses and then let me talk to you. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 5, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their poverty, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." I want you to notice with me, first of all, verse 1, our giving ought to be by grace. I like faith promise. I think it gives you an idea of what it's all about, but actually it boils down to giving by grace. You and I were saved by grace. We live our Christian life by grace. And our giving is by the grace of God. And as I started to say years ago, I was pastoring a small church in Kansas. I felt like before I went into evangelism that I should take a church for a short time just to understand the workings of a church, to be more effective as an evangelist. I knew God was heading me to be an evangelist, and God has never changed that call. He's just changed the borders of that call. We had Dr. Clifford Clark in, who was a pastor of the Tulsa Baptist Temple. And I said, "Brother Clark, come and do a faith promise in our church." Our church was giving about that much to missions before I got there. And I mean, it was just a pitiful amount. And so I invited him to come. He said, "Brother Cato, I can't give you a Sunday. I can't. Listen," I said, "just come Monday through Friday if that's all you can come." I said, "The big churches can get whoever they want, but us little churches, we need some help." And so he came, and I'd been at his church several months before that for our faith promise. First time I'd ever heard about it. And he came to our church and did some wonderful things for us in just those short few days in that little church. And that's where I began to learn about faith promise and to participate in faith promise. I'm not a pastor. I travel all the time. But I still have a responsibility, my home church, my local church, to give and to give above the tithe. The truth is, folks, the blessings don't really come until after the tithe. The tithe is where you begin, and God will bless that tithe. But when you go beyond those tithes, that's when you begin to see the blessings of God in your life. And so this matter of giving is by grace. We're not under law anymore. We're under we're in the age of grace. And in the age of grace, you and I are able to do things they couldn't do or accomplish under the law. And so I challenge you this morning that we do wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And there was a reason why he bestowed this grace. In verse 2, we find that they did their giving out of poverty. And this verse is a terrific challenge. How that in a great trial of affliction, I don't know necessarily what that affliction was, but he says, out of the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Some folk give, and it's almost like if you're looking at it, look like they've been eating sour pickles all their life. I mean, they do it, but it's grudgingly and not with a cheerful heart, as the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians. And just because you're here today, and Faith Promise Sunday, and you say, "Boy, I'm going to do this," you don't do it grudgingly. It was in their deep affliction, with their abundant joy. You know, a Christian ought to. A Christian ought to be happy he's a Christian. Huh? I mean, the truth is, I look at some Christians and they're more interested in giving God the leftovers instead of the whole bunch. Flip God a quarter and say, "That's good, I was church Sunday, I gave a little bit of money, and now I'm okay." But the Bible says they were in a great trial of affliction, and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. And, you know, I've heard it. I know those pastors heard it. People will say, "Well, I can't give. I'm too poor. I don't have enough money to be able to give." And the truth is, it's in your poverty when you start giving, and you can be not only receive a blessing, but be a blessing. This year, when we had to make our commitment as far as the Faith Promise or in our local church, I said to my wife, I said, "I'm slowing down, things are slowing down, and I'm not sure that we can give as much as we've been giving." But I went ahead the first month and gave, and God blessed. February gave, and I kept it. In fact, we've been able to give more than we did the year before. When I was thinking about this year, we were going to have to cut back. And, of course, coming to a church like this and helping like they have this week, God's proved himself to us again. We can just, but folks, you're never too poor to give. Okay? You're never too poor to give. And I know we have these cliches and we say these things, but the truth is, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. Now, there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. Okay? What we do by faith. We don't get stirred by emotions. It can be emotional, I suppose. It's emotional in the sense that we have been able to do more this year than we thought we could do. That's something you can rejoice in. But the truth is, and you could tell, I could stand here and today and give you story after story after story of how people have given beyond. And during their deep trial of affliction, out of their deep poverty, how poor are you? Aren't you tired of being poor? The truth is, you can give out of your poverty. And you do it with abundance of their joy, and it abounded under the riches of the liberality. So you give by grace, giving by poverty, and giving by going beyond. Notice in verse 3, he says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." By going beyond. Now, y'all are going to have to make a decision. As the pastor said to those, this is your church. Now, those folk that might be here this morning as visitors, God won't be angry if you decide to make this a steady church home and give to missions. That won't make God angry. But the folk who are members of this church, who regularly attend this church, we have that power to go beyond what they were willing. And folks, you and I can't do it in the flesh. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. Beyond their power, they were willing. And that's the key, isn't it? Being willing. When the Apostle Paul got saved over in Acts chapter 9, the first thing he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And listen to me, Christ never asked anything of any of us, but what he always set the example. He's always said, and he said, that he would do the will of his Father, which had sent him. And you and I, as children of faith, children of God, ought to be willing. I get frustrated sometimes because I can't give more. And maybe that's the wrong way to say that. Maybe I just am backslidden and should give more. I don't know. But I know that I give far beyond what I ever dreamed that I would be able to give. But you have to be willing. I'm sure this pastor, though the money could be used and would be used, I'm sure that he doesn't want anybody to give because they have to give. But he wants to see you give out of a willing heart, excited to give. And there are times, I'll be honest, there are times when I sit down to write out the check, and I do it monthly because I never know for sure what my income is going to be maybe for that month, but I do. But when I sit down and write that check, sometimes I think, oh, wait a minute. But you go ahead and do it anyhow because you know it's right, and I do it not grudgingly, but I do it willingly. Beyond the power that I might have. And then I like what I read in verse 4. Praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And we could just park here all morning. Literally begging. That's what the idea of entreaty is. He's begging that Paul would take these gifts. How many people have you seen, Pastor, that have begged to give you an offering for the ministry? I don't think we see that happen very often. Begging. I said, "Paul, please." Now, that they would receive the gift and take upon them the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You have a great responsibility. I think this church is to be commended in what you do for missions. But when we sit in our laurels, then we begin to lose that fervor and the things we ought to have. But when we realize that we can give, do you realize that there's 200 countries in the world that are sending out missionaries? And America sends out approximately 41,000 missionaries, but that number is going down all the time. Our church, where I'm a member, has not done faith promise like they should, and I'm not saying anything out of school, because the pastor has really taken this thing and he knows what it was and what it is now. But I think we fail to understand that there are still over 3,000 people's groups around the world that not have one single church or ministry in those countries. And some of them are just, I mean, they're people groups. And there are all these people groups that they don't even have one verse of the Bible translated in their language. And you never can outgive God, but you never can give too much for worldwide missions. When you think about some of these countries and what they live on, I know that in Ukraine, if you made $100 a month, you were pretty well off. The truth is, almost every family in Ukraine has a piece of dirt somewhere where they grow gardens. And that's how they live, basically, is off their gardens. They can't afford. Now, if you go into the city of Kiev, the major city of Ukraine, you probably, the average salary might be $200 a month. The average. I'm not saying how high or how low, but the average. You and I'd have a hard time living on $100 a month here, wouldn't we? We couldn't make it a week. We spend that much money on groceries a week. And these countries, they go and these places, and they try to get enough food for one day. And every day they're looking for some way to have more food to eat to feed their families. We live in a nation that's been blessed by God, and we're going to lose God's blessing if we ever get to the place where we fail to win people around the world. I could stand here. God's allowed me to go over 60 countries around the world, and I could stand here and tell you story after story of story of how God has blessed, how God has changed lives. And I think of a man that walked 25 miles. I was in the Carpathian Mountains for a crusade where eventually they planted a church. But I was there, and this man, it was in wintertime, snow and ice. He walked 25 miles in a pair of tennis shoes that were torn and ripped, and came to that service, got saved, God changed his life, and now he's a deacon in that church. And we could tell you, there are places in the world where people are not only hungry physically, but they're hungry spiritually. And I guess that's one of the reasons I began to get more involved in missions trips as an evangelist, because I knew I could go to these countries and preach and see scores of folks saved, where some of our churches in America, if you had a grunt in the crowd, you had a revival. I mean, it just dead as a doornail. You can walk into a church and you can tell whether that church is alive or dead. And but that's for free. That's not part of the message. But then number 5 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And that's the key to the whole thing. Giving of self. Giving by grace, giving by poverty, giving by going beyond, and giving by begging, but giving of self. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. There are 3 components, I think, as far as missions are concerned. And that's surrender, sacrifice, and service. And if we don't first of all surrender, then there's not going to be that. And by the way, sacrifice, we don't know much about sacrifice today. We know, we say, oh, what sacrifice for the folks that are on the mission field. Let me tell you something. Sacrifice is not sacrifice to those who are sacrificing. You get that? Those who are going through the sacrifice don't count it as sacrifice, but they count it all joy because they're able to serve God. But they gave themselves by the will of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever waved the white flag of absolute, total surrender to Christ? And my friend, if you do, and if you have, your faith promise is going to be more than you ever dreamed. The Bible says, see that ye abound in this grace also. And the truth is, he's talking about the grace of giving. Do not resist the impulse to be generous. Huh? Do not resist. Because the more you give, the more God's going to bless you. Doesn't mean you necessarily will get rich because you give, but God will bless you. And the blessings, we could stand here today and tell you a myriad of blessings that come our way when we're being used by God, doing God's work. And I want you to understand this. Only this generation can reach this generation. You realize how important that is? Only this generation can reach this present generation. And that's why we continue to need. Listen, there are young people, young couples, people here who could wave that white flag and say, God has called me to serve Him on a mission field somewhere. And if that's God's will for your life, that's what you need to think about. You see, this generation dies off and there's a new generation. And so we need more missionaries to reach that new generation. We think of somebody who goes to the mission field, and let's say Hudson Taylor, China, had tremendous impact, but one day he died. But he left a legacy. I had the privilege in China to be with a man who was probably the most godly person I've ever met in my life. When he had to be very careful because he'd been in prison 3 times. And for some reason he escaped or was allowed to get out. And he wasn't supposed to be out. And he was on the run every day. And every day he was preaching somewhere, doing the work of an evangelist. He said, I get to see my family maybe 2 or 3 times a year. The first time he'd been in prison, when he came home, his little boy said, Mommy, who's that man that's in our home tonight? But he was a third generation convert of Hudson Taylor. Hear me, folks. We need to give ourselves. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. One thing I pray as a 75-year-old man, I pray, God, I want to be in the center of your perfect will. I don't take that for granted. I want to be. I never dreamed I would be doing what I've done for the last 25 years in Ukraine. Only this generation can reach this generation. And I challenge you, do what you could do if you had the faith to do it. Do what you would do if you had the faith to do it. Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Just a moment, we're going to invite folk to make decisions for Christ. I don't know what God might have spoken to your heart about. And I know I've not preached a salvation message as such, but maybe today you've realized that surrender in your life has to start by, first of all, trusting Christ as your Savior. Now, Father, we pray that in the weakness of this preacher this morning, that somehow your word will affect the lives of those who are sitting here today. I pray, give this pastor wisdom and guidance and direction as for the future and worldwide missions. And I pray, Father, that folk will not leave here saying all they do is ask for money, as the preacher has indicated this morning. Father, we're not asking for ourselves. We're asking so the gospel might be spread around the world. And we'll thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. As we sing an invitational hymn, if God's spoken to your heart about a particular need, not going to come down the aisle and twist your arm, but maybe God's challenged you about a specific spiritual need that you need to deal with today. We invite you to come. The pastor's down at the front. He'll meet you as you come. We'll sing. You come on as we sing.
Jesus, I surrender all to Some respond this week to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask Derek and Shauna if you wouldn't mind to stand, Brother Brad and Katrina if you'll stand with them. On door-to-door visitation yesterday, Brother Brad and Brother Jake went out and knocked on your door, and they gave you the gospel. And you're coming forward today to let us know that yesterday you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? We are so thrilled for you. So happy for you. Hey, it still works, friends. Have you happy that they've trusted Christ? Would you say amen? Isn't that great? I've told them you're among friends. Now, y'all would like to be their friend. Would you raise your hand? If somebody didn't raise their hand, hit them in the side, okay? You're among friends. We hope you'll stay in here with us. Let us help you. God bless you. You can be seated. George Ganey, if you'll stand. Brother Brad, you can stand with him. Mr. Ganey has lost his wife recently. Didn't lose her. She just went to the other side. He was calling some churches because he was searching for Jesus Christ. He received one of our letters, I think, in the mail. We send out a sympathy letter to those who lose somebody. We send out all kinds of those. He received that letter after he lost his wife. Called this church. He said, I've been wanting somebody to come talk to me about Jesus. Found him home. And in his living room, he bowed his head and trusted Christ this week. See your wife again, right? And you know that you've trusted Christ. Still works, friends. And we praise the Lord for all of this. Have you happy for him saying amen? And we want you all to stay up here with us, because when we dismiss in a few minutes here, a little longer than a few minutes, our folks want to come by and greet you. God bless you. You can be seated. That's a blessing, friends. Praise the Lord for it. I'm going to ask Dr. Cadwell, and I want him to know. I'm always challenged by men and women of God who just stick by the stuff. And I want to thank you for being faithful to the Lord, faithful to each other. And I appreciate the message this morning. God bless you. I'm going to ask him, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward if they wouldn't mind. Just keep playing, Ms. Brevard, okay? You play beautifully, by the way. I'd like for every family, not every individual, but every family to have a copy of this Faith Promise. Even if you're visiting with us, we don't expect you to participate, But I hope you'll take this and pray for us throughout the year. I'd like to have every family to have a copy of this. They were in the bulletin. So if you already have it, don't raise your hand. But as they come up the aisle, if you need a copy of this for your family, if you'll just raise your hand, that'll be good. Momentarily, I'll have Dr. Cadwell come and explain this to you. I want you to be looking on the back side of the card, okay? Now, these are new cards for us. This is the first time we've used this particular card. We'll show you how to use this momentarily, but on the back side of it, you can see what faith promise is, okay? He's going to come and kind of just take just a few minutes and explain the card, and then I'll come back and lead us from there, okay?
Okay, Pastor. To be honest, it's here. But I want to challenge you three ways this morning. First of all, if you're giving to Faith Promise Missions, continue to give.
Amen. Amen.
That's the first thing I'd say. Secondly, if you're giving, ask God how much you can increase that giving.
Yes.
Now, I'm a little nosy, and so I asked the pastor some questions, and I know what his goal was, but if every giving person who gives the Faith Promise, if you would increase it even $1, that would amount to a considerable amount per month. If you increased it just $5, you would go way beyond the goal the pastor has set.
Amen. Amen.
And the truth is, that's just one coffee at Starbucks. Huh? Or do you have a Starbucks around here? Okay. And then there are those you've never given. You need to start. And when we say Faith Promise, listen, you got to pray, and by faith, you give beyond what your normal tithe would be. And I wished I could stand here, and I said this several times today, we don't have time, but I could tell you story after story of folk who stepped out on their faith promise, and God blessed them. I think of a lady in Florida who didn't make much money, but she said, I'm going to give all my overtime to the Lord for worldwide missions. She went to work the next day, and the boss of the company, he said, come on outside. And he had a brand new car sitting there for her. Hers had become a rattle trap. It just shows it. You can't outgive God. And folks, listen, it is a matter of faith. We live our Christian life. We're saved by faith. By faith, we ask Him to save us, and by faith, God answers that. But it goes in every area of our lives. And tonight, or today, in this great church, it's not a great pastor that makes a great church. It's a great church that makes a great pastor. And I'm going to be able to leave here and tell folk about a church in Tennessee that's given beyond what we ever dreamed personally just by being here, but the goal that you have set. And folks, it just takes a few dollars from everyone to increase that. But do it by faith. God may have you give more than you planned on. And if He does, do it. You'll get the blessing.
God bless you, sir. I want you to take this card out. and look at it here, please. I'll have the men come here momentarily. This card is made to where this small part comes off. If you have prayed, and I'm talking to our church folks, if you have prayed and you know the amount that the Lord wants you to give, now let me explain this. We're asking you to put down the weekly amount. Now, you may only give monthly. You may only give once a year, okay? No matter how often you give, we ask that you do the math and divide that to what it would turn out to be per week. Everybody understand what I just said to you? Okay? Because that's how we make our determination. Yes, we can bring on more missionaries. No. So say that you're going to give $500 this year. Don't put $500 on here, okay? But divide that by 52 and put that on here, all right? Do the same if you give monthly, bi-monthly. This is the weekly amount. This part right here is for you to take home. You can put it, basically just hang it on your refrigerator just as a prayer reminder. On the back, it tells you what this is. Let me say this to you. If you are not tithing to the local church, do not give the faith promise before you tithe. The Lord's not pleased with that. The tithe is the Lord's. You give that. This is what the Bible calls a free will offering. This is above your tithe. As you pray and seek the Lord, how much would you have us to give? So if you've prayed about it and you know the amount that God wants you to put down for this. Now you'll notice there's not even a place on here for you to put your name. We're not coming to ask for it. It's between you and God. That's what it is. That you want to give above and beyond your tithe. So let me ask the men to come forward. If you are ready to sign, I'm just talking about mark the amount here. Now, if the amount is not where you can just put a check mark beside it per week, then just put out where it says other or where it says amount, just write in the manual amount there that you're planning to give per week. If you have not prayed about this, or if you're still just not, you're still praying, you're just not sure what the amount is yet, please don't turn this in. You keep it because you can turn these in the next several weeks, all right? We'll let you know the grand total in probably about a month or so away from today, because we'll give you plenty of weeks to keep praying about it, keep seeking the Lord about it if you're not comfortable to put it down today. But I hope many of you will do this so we can get a good start today. Let's pray together, and if you've put that down, you can turn it into to the aisles, just kind of pass them down to the aisles after we pray. And these men will come by and collect them and just come right back and we'll start with this. Is Wade Farmer here? You come on up, okay? Let's pray together. Father, bless this now. May we get off to a good start today. And may those who prayed and have your will, may they put it down today. In a weekly amount, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As my grandmother plays, if you'll pass them to the aisles, please. And men, you just start bringing them up here, okay? We're excited about this because not a penny stays to pay anything at this church. Nothing. No salaries, no electric bill, no power bill. No, that comes from the tithes of God's people. Every penny is to establish local churches and win people across the world, including America. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing here. Okay, Brother Wade, we will start with this. These are weekly amounts. $5, $55, $6, $15, is it okay if I give you like $26.25, is that okay? $26.25, $1.25, $10, $10, $1, $115, $140, $275, $10, $12, $17.50, that's $17.50, $7, $10, $15, $100, $25, $5, $15, okay. $85, $0.50, $150, $5, $20, $10, $30, stop me if I go too fast, okay, $25, $5, $6.25, $10, $5, $10, $32, $12.50, $5, $20, $10, $42.50, $20, $10, $38.50, $2.50, $10, $38, $50, $140, $13.50, $50, $25, $5, $5, $125, $22, $5, $15, $10, $38, $43, $9.50, $40, every bit of this going to get the gospel around the world. $10, $55, $30, $5, $130, $145, $200, $60, $60, $5, $20, $50, $83, $5, $5, $7.50, $10, $50, $35, $20, $5, $5, $15, $25, $10, $37.50, $40, $12, $50, $10, $4, $2, $5, $62.50, $5. Anybody else? All right, for service number one. service number one, which means we'll do this again tonight, and then just as they come in, we'll keep adding. All of that committed right now is $167,908. It's not bad for an opening service, right? Our goal this year is $320,000. And understand, the more we give, the more people go. The more we give, the more we can bring on. So $167,908, and we appreciate you giving, the way you've committed yourself. And there'll be chances for others to give just for the next several weeks. So if you're still praying, keep praying, seek God. We'll see how He leads in all of this, okay? Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask Dr. and Mrs. Cadwell, I'm going to dismiss them to the gymnasium. I'm not going to have them shaking hands out here. He's under the weather and so on. So you can kind of wave at him as he goes by, all these kind of things. But I hope that you appreciate him and his wife being here this week. If you do, say an amen, please. Thank you for being here, Doctor. God bless you. And we hope the Lord helps you feel better very soon. Let me let him get back through here, and then we'll stand and be dismissed. If you have a visitor's card, please go by the Welcome Center, drop it off. We've got a special gift for you for that. Come by and greet these folks that trusted Christ this week. I think this is a great, wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay? All right? Let's all stand, please. Brother Steve Mullins, if you'll dismiss us in prayer. Be back tonight, 6:30. Brother Quinlan will be preaching for us tonight.